All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up, today's daf is Samech Beis, 62. We are picking up from Samech Aleph Amud Beis, 61b. And we are picking up with Bishlam Rabbi Meir. It's five lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we are locked in the midst of an important machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel about whether or not a Tanai kafel, whether or not, again, if you when you make a Tanai, does the Tanai have to be doubled? Do you need the Tanai to be phrased both in the positive and in the negative in order for it to be binding? Or is the Tanai binding even if it's only phrased in one of the two? So that's the fundamental machlokes that we've had unfolding in front of us now. And the Maisa, again, the Gemara brought a number of different examples. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dechsev, Im Tovu Ushematem. So says the Gemara, quoting the Pasuk from Yeshaya. According to Rabbi Meir, it makes sense. If the Pasuk says, Im Tovu, if you will go ahead and heed, Ushematem, then you will hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Was it just our shir this morning, thank you, is dedicated in memory and commemoration of the first yard site of Stephen Friedman, Shmuel Leib ben Asher, Zichron Livracha. This is Jennifer Kaplan's father, Bayona's son, and Jennifer Kaplan and family, as well as Mr. Friedman's wife, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Sham will have an aliyah and family in a chamo. Says the Gemara, I understand why it is that the Pasuk says, according to Rabbi Meir, Im tovu shematem v'im temanu umerisem. And then the Pasuk says, and if you refuse to listen, and you rebel. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's phrased both in the positive as well as in the negative. The positive, if you heed, then you will listen. And if you refuse, you will rebel. But according to Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, why is it that Lemaisa, again, it's phrased both in the positive and the negative? I mean, Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel does not require Tanai Kafel. It's necessary. Why? Sakadait Chamina im Tovu Tova vim Timanu lo Tova v'lo Ra. Because I might have thought the following. Maybe the Pasuk would teach me, if you listen, good, then you'll receive reward. And if you don't listen, you won't receive reward, and you also won't receive punishment. Kind of the same thing that we saw yesterday by Im Bechukos Saite Lechu. Maybe, again, if you do the right thing, there's schar. And if you don't do the right thing, again, there's somewhat of like a neutral effect. So the Gemara says, Kamash Shulam, that is not the case. If you do good, if you heed, then ultimately, again, you will listen, it'll be good. And if you refuse, then ultimately you will not hear, and it will not be good. To which the Gemara says, once you go to the Pasuk, My Cherev Tochelu, what's the meaning of the Pasuk when it says that if you refuse and you don't listen and you rebel, then ultimately, again, Cherev Tuklu, you will go ahead, literally the sword will devour. So Amarava said the following, the Pasuk is coming to teach you something different. Amarava, Milcha Galil Nisa, it's coming to teach you, Milcha Galil Nisa is coarse salt. Rashi says Gasa, coarse salt. Nama desari akusha, stale barley bread, ubitsali, and onions. That these things are detrimental for a person. The Amar Mar, because it was said, pas porni chareva, so we'll say porni is like a small oven. If you have dried out or coarse bread that's cooked in a porni oven, bemelach, that's eaten with salt, ubitsalim, and onions, kasha leguf kicharavos. It is as detrimental to the body as swords. So the idea, the Gemara is kind of just learning out over here. You know, I have to understand something that, you know, we say, hafach ba, vahafach ba, dekula ba. Everything is in Torah. You know, everything is in Torah. You have halacha, you have hashkafa, and you even have health advice. Now, we know we saw from our Gittin days, not all of it should necessarily be followed. But Lamaisa, again, within Torah, everything comes from it. So the Gemara is saying over here, you see that there are certain things that are detrimental for the body, like sharp swords. Bishlam Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, Haido Dechsev, Imlo Shachav, Ish Osach, V'imlo satis tumatachas yisheh hinaki. So it's an hour reversing it. According to Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, the parsha by Sota is phrased in a logical way. Because what does it say? If you did not sleep with a man, and if you did not go ahead and commit any kind of impropriety that would render you impure, hinaki, you shall be cleansed. you shall be cleansed. And the only way it phrases it ultimately again is in the positive. It doesn't phrase it in the positive and then in the negative. So therefore, according to Bechani Gamliel, that's fine, because Bechani Gamliel does not require Tanai Kafal. It does not require a double Tanai. El Rabbi Meir, Chinkimi Bailei, but according to Rabbi Meir, there should be another pasuk, right? It should say, if you do not commit any kind of adultery, hinaki, then you will go ahead and you'll be cleansed. You'll be free of responsibility. But then it should also say, and if you did commit adultery, chinki literally means you will choke. You will die. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir, this is a tanai, and a tanai should have both the positive as well as the negative. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Tanchum, hinki ksiv. To which Rabbi Tanchum said, the truth is, the word that's written in the Torah is hinki. So we'll say, if you notice again, hinaki would normally be written hey yud nun kuf yud. This word instead is written chaser without the yud, which if you read it quickly could also be vocalized as hinki. So because Rabbi Meir will say the word itself of hinaki chinki could both be read in the same word. So you do to a certain degree have both the positive and the negative phraseology contained in the pasuk. Bishlam Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichsiv, Hinaki, or Hinki, I should say. According to Rabbi Meir, this makes sense, therefore, why the Torah uses this word, Hinaki, which can be read Hinki, Chinki, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Lamali. But according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, why do you need that word? Why don't you use a different word to express or to convey this idea? Itzrich Sakat Aitcha Mina Imlo Shachav Ish Hinaki, Vim Shachav Lo Hinaki Velo Chinki. Because again, same idea, I would have thought, without Hinaki, I would have thought the following. I would have thought that if a woman slept with a man who's not with her, who is not her husband, so then ultimately that's when she's punished. If she did not commit adultery, then Hinaki. And if she did commit adultery, so again, it's a neutral effect. There's no prohibition, and there's also, of course, no reward. Meaning she doesn't get punished, nothing happens. Therefore, again, Kamashalan, that's not the case. Kamashalan, that even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, we have to use this word of hinki, which could also be read as chinki, in order to convey this duality. That if she did not commit adultery, then hinaki. But if she did commit adultery, chinki, that there absolutely is repercussions. Fine. Bishlam Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichsev, Hu Yischate Bo Ba Yom HaShlishi Yom HaShvi'i Yitar. So we'll say this is interesting. So here, so the Gnadi Gemara says, the Pasuk by Parah Aduma. Pasuk by Parah Aduma says that in order ultimately to be purified, so one has to be sprinkled upon on days 3 and days 7. So the way the Pasuk reads is, he'll be sprinkled on day 3 and on day 7. And if he's not sprinkled upon on days 3 and day 7, he will not become tahor. So says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Meir, I understand the duality of the Pasuk. Why? Because according to Rabbi Meir, you have to have both the lav and the hain. You have to have both the positive and the negative. We'll say we're on Samech Beis Amud Aleph 62a, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 4, about 14, 15 lines down from the top. So says the Gemara, I understand the question to Rabbi Meir, why it is that you need both the positive and the positive and the negative. If you're sprinkled upon on days 3 and 7, you become tahor. But if you're sprinkled upon, but if you're not, then you won't become tahor. I understand the need for that phrase. El Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Lamali, but according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, why do I need the pasuk to be phrased in the positive and the negative? Meaning, just go ahead and say that what? You have to be sprinkled upon on days 3 and 7, and I would understand from that statement what? What? That if not, then I'm not tar. Right? Then I'm still tame. To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Sakadai tchamina mitzvah hazah b'shlishi u'b'shvi'i. So I might have thought that the mitzvah is true. The chatchila, the mitzvah of sprinkling is on days 3 and day 7. But b'di'eved, as long as you had the sprinkling when? On one of the days, then b'di'eved, that is going to be okay. So that will say, so again, had it just said it in the positive, you need to be sprinkled upon on days 3 and day 7 in order to become tahar, I would have said, need means the chatchila. But b'di'eved, if you only had one of the days, it's going to be okay also. Therefore, the pasuk comes along and says that what? That if you don't have the sprinkling on days 3 and day 7, then what? Then you're going to be tummy. To which the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. So then, remember, the pasuk, the Torah is then repetitive. Just a few psukim later, the Torah again says that the person who is pure will sprinkle upon the person who is impure on days 3 and days 7. So why do I need this phrase? In other words, this seems to be a totally extraneous phrase. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It's trich sakadait chamin shlishi. Limeute sheni, shvi'i, limeute shishi. They come in ma'it b'mei tara. I would have thought the following, that when the Torah goes out of its way to stress 3 and 7 now, a third time, what is it coming to tell you? That you have to do the sprinklings on day 3 and day 7, but when can't you do it? You can't do it on 2 and 6, which makes sense. Why? Because if you're doing it on 2 and 6, you are diminishing the days of Tara. So however, again, you're diminishing the window for the purification process. However, says the Gemara, Aval Heicha Da'avid B'Shlishi U'B'Shmini. But let's say instead of sprinkling on days 3 and 7, he sprinkled on days 3 and 8. Where the Kamafish B'Mei Tara. Rabbi will say, what am I doing? I'm elongating the process of purification. Eimer Shapir Dami, I would have thought, hey, that's not a problem. Right? There's absolutely no problem with that. Therefore, again, Kamash Malon, Vichit'o Bayom Hashvi'i. Therefore, the Pasuk says that you shall purify on the 7th day. Elo Shapir Dami, Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, the Pasuk goes in and says now a third time, you have to sprinkle on days 3 and 7 to teach you what Rabbo say, that it's Dafka gotta be on 3 and 7. And if it's on any other 2 days, then Lemaisa what? The sprinkling won't work. See, even though, again, one could have made the logical argument that if you sprinkle on day 8, what's the problem? I'm just protracting, I'm lengthening the window for purification. Kamash Malon, that is not proper. Next. V'chitu b'yom ha'shvi'i lamali. So we'll say, listen to this. So now there's now another pasuk as well. So now there's a fourth mention of v'chitu b'yom ha'shvi'i. He shall be purified on day number 7. Why do I need that? It's trich sakadai t'chamina hani mili l'kachim. So we'll say, because I would have thought the following, when do you need the sprinkling? On days 3 and 7, so I would have thought that lamaisa, that's only for kachin, that's only for sacrificial items. That's the ones that require a sprinkling on days 3 and 7. However, aval truma, but for the purposes of truma consumption, bechad nami sagi, one sprinkling should be enough. Kamashlan, that is not the case. Kamashlan, that even for truma, which is of lesser sanctity, you require a sprinkling on days 3 and 7. So we'll say, so the way we close out this sugya is we are left with a fundamental dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel about the nature of tnai. Rabbi Meir is saying that lemaisa, every tnai needs to be a tnai kafel. Needs to be a doubled Tanai. Using the Tanai of Moshe Rabbeinu by B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain as a paradigm, Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel is saying, no, a normal Tanai need not be doubled, need not be kafel. In regular Tanai, what we say is, Mechlal Lav Ata Shomei Ahein, Mechlal Hein Ata Shomei Alav. You could always infer from whatever it is that you say. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? So we saw yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu was a different issue. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he needed to clarify certain things vis-a-vis B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain's inheritance in Eretz Canaan proper, and therefore he felt the need to go ahead and say things explicitly. But Lemaisa, again, under normal circumstances, a Tanai need not be kafel. Fine. Says the Mishnah. HaMekadish HaSa'isha. So we'll say, a man is Mekadish woman. V'omer. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
It
is a technicality in the formulation of, in the framework of a Tanai, but it's a technicality that has global Torah repercussions, 100%, because all of these psukim you see are darshan differently, Rabbi Meir than Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, correct. Says the Mishnah, HaMekadish HaSa'isha, a man is Mekadish woman, V'amar, Kisavra HaYisi Shehi Kohenes, and he says, I thought that she was a Bas Kohen, V'hari Hi Leviya, but it turns out that what? That she's a Leviya, Leviya V'hari Kohenes, or a man is Mekadish woman, he thought that she was a Leviya, but it turns out that she's a Kohenes, or Aniya, I married her thinking that she was poor. Vaharihi Ashira. Turns out she's rich. Ashira. Vaharihi Aniya. Or I thought she was rich, and it turns out that she's poor. Harezi Mikudesha. So both in all of these cases, the marriage works. The woman is Mikudesha. Why? Mipnei Shalohita Asa. Because she did not deceive him. If you look at Rashi, Shalohita Asa. Elohu Hitas Atzmo. He deceived himself. Remember, in this case over here, we're dealing in this Mishnah where what? He never made any kind of explicit tonight. He never articulated anything. Essentially, what's happening over here, Rabosei, is he thought certain things to be true, and he made certain assumptions, and it turns out that his assumptions were wrong. So because those assumptions were never articulated, because those assumptions were never spoken about, therefore, Lemaisa, again, he has no right to void the marriage based on these assumptions. Ha'omer le'isha, hari at mikudeshes li la'achar she'esgayer. If a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me after I convert. So right now the man is a goy, and he's going ahead and undergoing the process. So become mikudeshes to me after I convert. O la'achar she'tisgayri. Or she's not Jewish now. She's not Jewish. And he says to her, become mikudeshes to me after you convert. Or la'achar she'eshtachrer. O la'achar she'tishtachreri. Or he's now an Eved Kenani. And he says, to become mikudeshes to me after I become emancipated. Or she's a shifcha kinanis. Become mikudeshes to me after you're emancipated. This is an interesting one. La'achar sheyamos ba'aleich. Or right now she's married. So right, so become mikudeshes to me after your husband dies. Oh, la'achar shetamos achoseich. This one can really cause shalom bayis problems. Or the man is currently married to her sister. So after your sister dies, become mikudeshes to me. Or la'achar shiyachlots la yivimeich. Or abosai, become mikudeshes to me. Remember, in this case, her husband died. She's subject to yibum. And so after your yavam does chalitza with you, become mikudeshes to me. Similarly, v'cheino omer lechavero im yolda ishtecha nekeva reizu mikudeshes li. Or if a man says to his friend, the friend's wife is pregnant, and he says to his friend, if your wife gives birth to a girl, let the girl become mikudeshes to me. So we're saying all of these cases ima mikudeshes. Right? That phrase goes on. In all of these cases that we just mentioned, she's not mikudesh. There's no kiddushin. Why? Look at Rashi. Ima mikudeshes. Because I will say the common denominator in all of these cases is these are things that do not yet exist. So for, and again, you could just go back and plug this in. So if a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me after I convert, that personality of the Jew that he will be after conversion, that does not yet exist. So because it does not yet exist, lemaisa again, you can't be mekadesh a woman with it tonight with something that is a davar shelo bali olam, has not yet come into existence, and that's true in all of these cases. However, says the Gemishna, im haisa ishta ishes chavero meuberes b'hoker ubra. But if my friend's wife is pregnant, and I make the tnai, if your wife has a girl, let her become mikudeshes to me, and the pregnancy is recognizable, then what? Dvar kayamit. Then the tnai works. Why does the tnai work, Abosai? Because since the pregnancy is recognizable, that's considered to be a davar shebali olam. Then at this point in time, again, it's considered to be something that is in fact in existence. V'im yaldan akevan, if she has a girl, then indeed mikudeshes, ultimately, again, she will be betrothed. Says the Gemara, tnan hasam, we learned there, ein termin minat halashalam mechuber. Supposedly, just a little bit of background over here. Produce that is attached to the ground is not subject to the laws of Trumas and Maestros. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is Mechuber, Eino Chayi B'Truma. So remember again, produce that is still attached to the ground is not subject to the laws of Truma. Dereshis Degon Chaksiv, because the Pasuk says the first of your grain, but the Dashin is Dagon, Midi Demidgon, something that can be piled. Shenes of Bikri, it can be gathered in a pile. Hilchach lochal shim truma ala talo shofra shalav. The tevel hu biyat koim viachol lit shom alemi makom achar. So we'll listen to this. So listen to this case. Ain't tarmin min hatalush ala mechuber. So we'll say, you can't go ahead and separate out truma from detached produce on attached produce. In other words, attached produce is not subject to the laws of truma. Therefore, if you go ahead and you designate certain detached produce as truma for attached produce, that designation is void. It's meaningless. Vim taram, and if you did so, ein truma. So truma, such a designation, in fact, is meaningless. Baimini Ravasi Rabbi Yochanan. So Ravasi asked Rabbi Yochanan, Amar peros arugazu talushim, yut truma peros arugazu mechubarim. If a man says the fruit of this row, which are detached, should be designated as truma, as the truma portion, for the fruits of this row, which are still attached. Or, peros aruga zu mechubarim, or this row of fruit that is attached, yiyu truma al peros aruga zu tlushim, ultimately, again, should become truma for this row of fruit that is detached, lichishi yitlishu, when the fruit becomes detached. So, you know, say, in this case, I'm designating fruit that is currently attached to the ground as truma for fruit that is currently detached to the ground, but the truma designation should not devolve upon the attached fruit until when? Until they're detached. So mahu, what's the halacha? So amalei, so Rabbi said, this is Rabbi Yochanan, and this is very important. Rabbi Yochanan says, here's the klal. Kol shebiyado, lav mechusar maisa dami. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi said, any process that you control is not considered to be mechusar maisa. In other words, any process that you control is considered to be as if it's done. Look at Rashi. Kol shebiyado, ki hai shebiyado lit lo shu lahafresh miyan. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi, remember, the reason why this is being brought up is the following. The Mishnah said that essentially, you can't go ahead and transact, you can't create realities based on a davar shela baliola, based on that doesn't exist. So when the Gemara begins this discussion, what the Gemara is trying to figure out over here is what's the status of attached produce? Attached produce is not subject to the laws of truma. So how do we view attached produce? So if a man says, this row of attached produce is going to be truma on this row of detached produce, when I detach this produce from the ground, how do we view that statement? So do we say, on one hand, it's attached to the ground? If it's attached to the ground, it's like a davar shela baliyam. It's not in existence, and therefore the truma designation is not good. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Here's the difference in that case. The difference in the truma case is what? I control the process. How do I control the process? I can go over to the row and detach the produce. Rabbi Yochanan says, anything that is B.O.D., anything that's in my hands to control, lav mechusar maisa dami. In other words, if I have the ability to control it, then what? It's as if it's done. It's as if it's a davar shebali olam. So it says, thinking about this, it says, Eisve. So really, is that the case? Ha'omer le'ishar nekudesh. It's like, l'achar shez gayer, l'achar shez tizkari, l'achar shez shtachar, l'achar shez shtachari, l'achar shez mespalech, l'achar shez tamos ha'chosech, l'achar shez yachlos, le'yivimech, in nekudesh. So we'll say, so remember, so the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Then it says, to become Kudeshes to me after I convert, or after you convert, after I'm emancipated, after your husband dies, after my wife, your sister dies, after you have Chalitza. Well, say, in all of these cases, she's not Mikudeshes. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Akulhu Lav Biyado. So all of these cases make sense, why I will say, because these are all situations where what? He has no control. A man says to a woman, become Mikudeshes to me after you're emancipated. He doesn't control when the other one is going to emancipate her. So, and that's true with all of the cases. Ella Ger Havi Biyado. But also, that's what the Gemara says. But what about the case of conversion? Right, I decide if I'm going to convert. Why isn't that biyadi? That's in my hands. If it's in my hands, then what? Then Rabbi Yochanan's principle is kol shebiyado lav kimuchusar ma'isadami. Right, anything that's in my hands to control is not muchusar ma'isa. To which the Gemara says. No, you don't control conversion either. Why? Don't Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan Amar Beis will say ger sarich shlosha. Rabbi will say in order to convert, you need a Beis Din of three people. Rashi says ger sarich shlosha Yisraelim, three Jews. The Beis Din of three Jews. Sheniskakin lo lahat bilo ulo dia mitzas mitzos kalos v'chamurus kedaram biyavamus. You need a Beis Din of three people. Number one, to oversee the tefillah, to oversee the immersion in the mikvah, and also to inform the individual about certain mitzvos. So, my time, why does a ger need three people? Why does he need a Beis Din? Mishpat ksiv bekedim, because Rabbi said the Torah uses the word by a ger of mishpat, of judgment. Just like a regular din requires a Beis Din of three. Therefore, a gerus needs a Beis Din of three in there also. Mi yemar dimiskatku lehani tlasa. Who says he's going to be able to find three people who are going to be willing to participate in this process? So essentially says the Gemara, conversion is not in your hands. Rabbi say, we know this. It's even starker than what the Gemara is saying. The truth is, the decision to convert, the decision to embark upon the journey of conversion, ultimately is up to the individual. But the final say, whether or not that person is going to convert, is up to the Beis Din. Right? Meaning a person cannot make a unilateral decision to convert. Therefore, the Gemara says, process that's not called biado, that's not called the process that he controls. Therefore, again, it's considered to be, it's mechusar maisa. There's an action lacking. It's like a darvish shalom bali olam. And therefore, the man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me after I convert, or after you convert, such a kiddushin is not good because you're dealing with things that do not yet exist. So the Gemara goes like, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, excuse me, Maske Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo raised the kasha, what's the kasha? And let me ask, I know seeing pruta l'shif kasha, let's listen to this case. Now that's the case, a man gives a pruta to his shifka, to his maidservant. But Amr, Hari'at mikudeshes li la'achar she'ishtachrerech. Now also listen to this case. Now this is a case where I'm being mekadesh, my own shifcha. Right? She's my shifcha. I'm giving her a pruta, and I'm saying, this is your key, become mikudeshes to me after I emancipate you. I hoch enami dehavu kiddushin. So I will say, in this case, I would say the kiddushin should work. Why? Because I do control the process here, right? At the end of the day, I control her emancipation. So if that's the case, then again, the kiddushin should work. This is amazing. So hachi ashta hasam. So the Gemara says, no. Here's the difference. Meikara behema hashta das acheres. So both say before she's emancipated, she's a behema. They both say, what is it? She's a behema. Now remember again, an eved kenani has the status of a possession. The idea over here is that for the eved kenani, prior to emancipation, in a halachic sense, there's no das. When you emancipate her and she becomes a free Jewish woman, at the end of the day, there is das. Meaning, the person you're talking to now, when you're trying to negotiate post-emancipatory terms, is not a bar das. Is not someone, at the end of the day, again, who you could negotiate on a transactional level. Therefore, to make a tanai now, for post-emancipation, is not going to work. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hachi garsina mei karabei mevahashu das acheres, hilchach, Ein mechusar maisa gadol nizeh. Rashi is a great lashon, right? Then Rashi says, this is mechusar maisa, because you're literally, the havamina is, I'm dealing with the same person. It's just that her status changes. But she's the same person. Kamash says, she's not the same person. Here it's das behema, and here it's das acheres.
It's still the union of conversion, though.
I'm sorry? Well, the conversion happens de facto by an Eved Kenani. Meaning, because remember, the way Avdus works is when you become an Eved, you have Tevila L'Shem Avdus, which essentially is the conversion Tevila that is only fully activated upon emancipation. So no Beis Din is necessary for that. The Elohadam Raboshia, listen to this, Hanosein Pruta L'Ishto, V'Amar La, Hari'at Nekudesh Estila Achar She'egar Sheikh. So listen to this. So a man says to his wife, gives her a pruta, and says, listen, here's the deal. Become mikudeshes to me with this pruta after I divorce you. So we'll say in this case, they're married, he's going to divorce her, but he's giving the money to her now, that after the divorce she should become mikudeshes to him with this money. So the Gemara says, So this case should work according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because Lamaisi, he controls this process. To which the Gemara says, no, you don't. Nihi de biyado lagarsha biyado lekadsha. You have the power. Husband has the power to divorce her, but Rabbi say he does not have the power to what? To cause her to marry him. In other words, you don't control that process. She can get that divorce, and then Rabbi say what? After the divorce, she can say, "No, thank you. No, the Yishmendrik. I'm not marrying you again." Right? So again, so at the end of the day, the Gemara says he does not control that process. To which Rabbi say, you should just know this. I find this Gemara, this sugya in general, is an incredible musr about Rabbi Yochanan saying, kol shebiyado eino mechusar maisa. You know, in life, there are certain things you control and certain things you don't control. There are many more things in life that we don't control, but those things that we do control, how much we have to exercise proper shlita over them. It's such an important yisod. The things that you do control in life, you have to exercise your muscles of control and maximize those opportunities. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Tifshot to Bei Rav Hoshea, Hanosin Shtei Prutos Leisha. So listen to this case. A man gives two prutos to a woman. Ba'achas Amar Lo Iskachi Lihayom. So with one of the prutos, he says to her, become mikudeshes to me today. Uba'achas Amar Lo Iskachi La'achar She'egar Sheikh. So let's say, so then what happens? And remember, he says, don't ask why. The why somebody's doing this doesn't matter. But Lamaisa, again, he's giving her two prutos. Pruta number one, becoming kudeshes to me now. Pruta number two, I'm telling you, I'm going to divorce you. So after I divorce you, I want you to become kudeshes to me again with this second pruta. So tivshot mina, delahavi kiddushin. So what I say, so meaning learn from here that what, so based on what we said, this shouldn't work. Why shouldn't it work, Abosai? Because Lamaisa, again, although it's biyado legarsha, he has the power to divorce her when he wants, but what? It is not biyado to decide ultimately again that she should become remarried to him. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe, Dilma keichi d'tafsi kiddushin hashta, tafsi nami la'achar kein. Well, maybe I would say that in the same way that kiddushin takes effect now, so the kiddushin should take effect later on. Meaning the same way that the first kiddushin takes effect, maybe the second kiddushin should take effect as well. To which the Gemara says, Tanya, sorry. Dilma kiyechi de tafsi kiddush ashta, tafsi nami la'achin. Look at Rashi. Dilma kiyechi de tafsi, it's almost right across in Rashi. Kilomar, lahachi misapka le rabbi Oshia baha, mishum de'ika lememar dilma, sviralon migo. So the reason why this case, or why Rav Oshia brought up this case, is because this case perhaps is a little bit different. Maybe we view the Kiddushin a little bit as a package. And therefore, again, what's going to happen to one will happen to the other. And since we know that what? That the first Kiddushin ultimately does work, maybe that tells us that what? That the second Kiddushin must work as well. That's the Shaila. So the Gemara goes like, "Can I go ask Rabbi Yochanan?" So both say we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan espoused the principle "Kol shebiyado lav kimuchlusar ma'isa dami." That's the phrase. Anything you control, essentially, we consider it as if it's done already. So it says the Gemara, "Ein tarmin minat halu shalom mechuber." So it's exactly what we learned before. You can't go ahead and separate truma from detached produce, unattached produce. Vim Tarum, and if you did, so ain't Shuma. So Shuma, ultimately the Shuma is not a proper designation. Ketzon, what's the case? Amr peros arugazu tlushin, yut Shuma peros arugazu mechubaros. So if a person says, the fruit of this row which is detached, should become Shuma on the fruit of this row that is attached, or peros arugazu mechubaros, or the fruit of this row which is attached, should become truma, you peros al arugazu tlushin, should become truma on the peros of this row which is detached. Lo amar klum. Both say such a statement is absolutely meaningless. Okay, so that's what we said before. It's meaningless. Why? Because lemaisa, at the end of the day, you are negotiating truma terms with attached produce, which is not subject to the laws of truma. Aval amar l'chishiyit l'shu. But if you say, well, say what? That the detached produce should become the truma on the attached produce. When the attached produce becomes detached, then what? And then it becomes detached. Devarav kayamin. Ultimately, again, his words work. So what we said before, why? Why does it work? Because he controls the process. It's biyado. Why is it biyado? Because I could go over to that row of attached produce and what? Detach it whenever I want. So because I control it, therefore lemaisa, what? It's not kimuchusr maisa. It's not like a davar shalal bali olam. It's considered an existence.
What happens if they get destroyed?
I'm sorry?
Fire or something gets destroyed.
If that would happen, then lemafreyat would not be a proper designation. That could happen. But lemaisa, right now, when I'm making the designation, I have the power to go ahead and detach it. Now, I also going to watch this. Yes, sir, Alkin, I'm going to Belezer ben Yaakov. So Belezer ben Yaakov says, Rabbi Yochanan, that's nothing. I'm going to do you one better. Afilu amar peros arugazu tlushin. Yut shuma al peros arugazu michubaros. Or even if a person said that, what? The peros, the fruit of this row, which are detached, should be truma on the fruit of this row, which is attached. Or peros arugazu mechubaros, you truma peros arugazu tlushin. Or the fruits of this row, which are attached, should become truma on the fruits of this row, which are detached. Lechishiavoshlish v'yitlishu. When they reach one third of their maturation, and they are detached. So both say, in this case, what happened over here? He added another piece, which is what? Which is they have to reach a certain threshold of growth. Then I both say, I don't control the threshold of growth. I control when to detach the produce, but I don't control the threshold of growth. Yet, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, ve'aviyu shlish, as long as they reach a third of their maturation, v'nitlishu, and ultimately they're detached, Dvarav Kayomin. Ultimately, again, his words are upheld. Rabbi said, take a look at Rashi here. Rashi says, yes, sir, Al-Kain. Afilu mashe in biyado dekasavar adam makdish umakne davar shalab al-yom. So Rabbi said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is coming along and arguing Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan saying that you could only go ahead and be makdish a davar shabali olam, something that's in existence, and as long as, but Rabbi Yochanan's novelty is, as long as you control the process, it's considered as if what? The item is in existence. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov comes a step further and he says that what? You could even be makdish a davar shelo ba li olam. Even if something is not yet in existence, you can still what? You can still go ahead and be makdish it. See, even if I say that this attached produce should become truma on the detached produce, when what? When it reaches a third of its maturation and I detach it, even though I control the process of detaching it, I don't control the one-third growth yet. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, it still works. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you can still be makdish a davar shelo ba li olam. Rashi says over here, l'chashi abiyu shlish, shadayin lo abiyu shlish, fine. Dayim yadol shlish, okay, let's go back to it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba. First of all, Amar Rabba. I love your questions, I'm going to get fired if I don't finish the job. It's me. So, job performance review is coming up. I need to, so it says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, lo Amar Rabba Elazar ben Yaakov, ela b'shachas. So Rabbi said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, say, so now, what we have over here is a fundamental machlokes. On one hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying that you could be makdish a davar shelo ba li olam, something that does not yet exist, versus Rabbi Yochanan who says, you call me makdish a davar shelo ba li olam. Just the difference is that even if the item is not in its totally finished state, as long as I have the ability to control the process, that's called a davar shelo ba li olam. Now Rabbi comes along and says, I'm a Rabbi, lo Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov ela b'shachas. Even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Rabosai, who says that you can be makdish a davar shebal yolam, the item must have reached some basic level of maturation. So we'll see, he's talking about obviously over here in crops, in the Truma designation. Shachas Rabosai refers to the state, shachas literally is fodder. The idea is that the crop is mature enough that even if it's not fit for human consumption, it's fit for animal consumption. So even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who says that you could be makdish a davar shelo ba li olam requires the item to at least be somewhat in existence. Even if it's not in fully finished existence, it's got to be at least in a state of fire. Look at Rashi b'shachas, shava b'shlo nishnis bashlu hagari in shlish, afil adayin lo liblulu achit in shachas, miya havi v'roi liktor l'achil l'behema, demidi deminkar v'chashavu. So even if it's not fit for human consumption yet, at least if it's fit for animal consumption, that's chashav enough and considered to be as if it exists. Aval ba'agam, but Rabbi says if at the end of the day, the grain is so underdeveloped. Agam Rashi says is she'ina elat smachim rakim. It's just like soft flowers. In other words, it's not fit. It's not even at the state of fodder. It's not even fit for animal consumption. Then even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would agree that what? You can't be makdish such an item. Rabbi Yosef says no. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, afilu ba'agam. Rabbi says no. When Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that what? That you can be makdish a davar shelo ba li olam. What does that mean, Rabbi Yosef? What does that mean? Even a davar shelo ba li olam. See, even if the item is so underdeveloped that it's agam, we'll say it's not even fit for animal feed yet. It's still just like a flower, like a plant. L'maisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says still you can be makdish it. Says the Gemara, just as an aside, my masha the high agam lishna di botzal nahu. So say, how do I know the lashon of agam means something that is very underdeveloped and very, very, very not yet ripened and mature? Because over here the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, and the pasuk says, halakof ka'agmon rosho. Literally, again, you will bend your head. Kagmon Rabosa means like a reed. So just like the reed sways in the wind, so too, again, you'll bend your head like we see. You see, the lashon of agmon means something that is very flimsy and bendable. So therefore, again, Chazal used that lashon to speak about a plant that's underdeveloped. So kiman azlaha desanya. So we'll see. So now understand what we have over here. We have a fundamental machlokes. So we now is very exciting because we have two machlokes now. We have one machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yochanan. So according, can you be makdish a davar shelo ba li olam or not? Can you sanctify something that is not yet in existence? Now, also, you understand, of course, whatever you, presumably, whatever you're going to hold by hekdish, you could apply to Kiddush in other cases as well. To which Rabbi Yochanan says, you cannot be Makdish a Davar Shel Bal Yolam. You cannot be Makdish something that does not yet exist. But what you can do is, you could be Makdish something that is not yet in its finished state, as long as you have the ability to control or to get it to the finished state. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, no, you could even go ahead and be Makdish a Davar Shel Bal Yolam. Then there's a sub-machlokas, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. According to Eliezer ben Yaakov, it says that you can makdish a davar shelo bali olam. What's the definition of lo bali olam? To which Rabbah says, lo bali olam means, it's got to be at least in some basic state of existence. So for produce, it doesn't have to be fit for human consumption, but at least has to be fit for animal consumption, what we call the state of shachas. Rav Yosef, no. According to Eliezer ben Yaakov, when he says that you can makdish a davar shelo bali olam, that literally means what? Davar shel bal yolam, even if malish is just a little flimsy plant. So Gemara says,
nothing at all.
Correct. That we're going to see that. Kaman azla hadasanya haomer lechaveiro im yalde ishtechane keva mikudeshes li lo amar klum. So we'll say. So let's analyze it. So he saw in the Brayse, it's actually was quoted in the Mishnah as well. A man says to his friend, if your wife gives birth to a girl, she's mikudeshes to me. That if he makes this statement, such a statement is meaningless. So who we'll say? So whose opinion does this go according to? This is only true of what? If the woman's not pregnant. But if the wife is pregnant, dvarav kayomin. Ultimately, his words are upheld. So I will say, whose opinion does this reflect? Kiman. Ikirab. So I will say, it depends. If you want to say, I will say, now one thing is clear, which is, this reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that you can go ahead and be makdish a davar shelo bal yolam. Therefore, again, a man could be makadesh a girl who's not yet born. The shaila is, what are the parameters here? So it depends. If you want to hold like Rabba, then what? Kesha hukar ubra. Then I will say it would have to be a case where not only is she pregnant, but what? But what? She's showing, right? The pregnancy is recognizable. Why? Because that would be the equivalent of the produce reaching the fodder state, right? Of reaching the shacha state. Meaning that according to Rabbi, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that you could do something with the davar shelo bal yolam, it has to at least be quasi in existence. Ikir Rav Yosef, afa pi shelo hukar abra. But I will say, according to Rav Yosef, this would be true even if the pregnancy, even if she's not yet visibly pregnant. But again, as Gil just mentioned, it would have to be, everybody would agree that what? That at least she has to be pregnant. Ikir da'amri, others explain, Amar Rabbi lo, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ela b'shachas. So others say like this. I was actually going to stop over here by the Ikad Amri or Meretz Hashem. Pick. Actually, let's do one more. Ikad Amri. Am Rabbi Lo, Am Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Alav Shachas. Debe Kivsha. Actually, you know what? We'll stop with the Ikad Amri. Let's say we'll pick up in Meretz Hashem with this tomorrow service because this goes on to the end of the daf. So we'll say again, we're ending off over here. I know I'm leaving a little bit of a cliffhanger, but we're ending off over here in the midst of this exciting sugya. Again, two raging machloksim. Major machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, can a person be makdish a davar shelo bal yolam? And then a sub machlokas in the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, how much lo bal yolam could Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov tolerate? That's a machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Yemiratz Hashem, to be continued in resolution, Yemiratz Hashem tomorrow. Shkoya. Yeah.